Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Mandy Kennedy.
Hello.
Asa Gray.
Yay.
And Stephanie White.
Woo.
This is the crew that I just traveled to and fro Indianapolis for the Indiana Comic Con. We'll be talking a whole lot about that towards the end of the show. But first, we want to get some news stuff out of the way in the way of typical Nerd Up. And then, yes, we will be talking about our convention travels. Spoiler, it was a whole lot of fun. First thing I want to talk about, a little bit of Nintendo news. I don't know why I want to start out angry, but I guess I really do. Because Nintendo announced that they're going to be doing exactly the same thing with a next-gen Zelda game that they did with Twilight Princess for the GameCube. I'm sure all of you out there, probably most of you anyway, are Zelda fans, and we're really excited about the new Wii U Zelda game. You'll still be getting it, but in March 2017, which is the official release date of the Nintendo NX system.
I can't say this with 100% certainty, but I'm pretty sure the March was removed from that.
Please tell me it wasn't.
It's only the listing on some website, because I saw it on Reddit, the listing on the on some website only has it as 2017 now.
I hope that's not true.
Just remember, we're going to end the show happy, Jesse.
We will end it happy, but yeah, I could have sworn I just looked it up. I'm going to go ahead and make sure here, because I would be really, really sad, because that is exactly what happened with Twilight Princess.
At least you have a date. I don't even have a date for Kingdom Hearts 3 yet, still.
All right.
After 10 years.
Oh, here's a trailer for 2 minutes. I don't know when we'll finish it. It's fine. You guys can wait.
Oh, God. Yeah, here we go. Wii U Daily changes NX Wii U release date from March 2017 to just 2017. So this will be exactly like what they did with Twilight Princess, where Twilight Princess was pushed back, you know, a few months for the Wii release so it could have a simultaneous release, now being pushed back even further.
Forever.
At least this time I don't have it pre-ordered way in advance. I really hope that it's just an oversight, because they're saying they just removed the March from it. So I'm hoping it's an oversight and they just put 2017 and it's still going to stick with March, because I also don't want to keep waiting that long for a new Nintendo system or news about a new Nintendo system, which they've already said. Nothing about the NX will happen at E3.
Which our prediction got thrown right out the window, because that's where we're like, well, it has to be at E3, right? It's only the biggest video game conference of the year.
Well, and also, to be completely fair, Nintendo doesn't participate in E3.
Yeah, they quit a couple years ago.
Yeah, they just do. They have an event they do during E3 that's completely separate from E3. So
they have their own little corner where they have their own party. And
pretty much, they just make sure to schedule it not during any of the other big video game conferences. And because they just do a Nintendo Direct during E3.
Yeah, and I guess it makes, like, on one hand, it makes sense. Because if you're not at E3, you're not competing with all of the other, like, the big two or, right, like, any of the other big news. But at the same time, how does that do anything if you're just doing it the same week of E3 anyway?
Exactly. Like, I have to imagine that at some point, like, E3 pissed off Nintendo. Or
or maybe they're just, like, they just don't want to pay to showcase at E3.
I don't think it's they want to pay. I think it's because they want to... The stage is taken, so they're going to show off their big stuff at a different time. I know that sounds a little backwards, but it's just like, okay, well...
Well, it does, especially whenever the different time is still the exact same time.
Right.
It's and like, we're going to... I don't want to be a part of the Ringling Brothers. I'm going to do my own circus, but I'm only going to do it the same week that the Ringling Brothers are in town. That'll show them.
No, they have their circus like 5 times a year spread out throughout the year.
Well, they
whenever
do.
They do the Nintendo Direct.
There are several Nintendo Directs. The problem is, like, they still will have a big Nintendo Direct the week of E3. Like, because they do several Nintendo Directs, but not all of them are as big as the one they do during E3.
Right.
And I just don't understand why they don't just go to E3. I don't, because I also thought it was an invitation thing. Like, I didn't think companies...
It was for a few years. Like, you had to be either press or industry in order to get into E3, and then they changed it again so that if you were you know, regular peons like us, then you could get in, but...
Well, I mean, I'm not even talking about that. Like, oh. I'm talking about, like, exhibitors. I didn't think exhibitors paid to display stuff at E3. Like, they were invited so that they could attract people and then charge people to see the exhibitors.
I always just assumed it was like every other con, like the one we went to, where, sure, you might have to be invited, but you still have to, like, pay to hold your place. Slash, because I'm assuming the venue has to take money from it.
Like I said, the way I would think is that by, you know, having these big names there, getting like Xbox and Sony and everything else to show up, that will attract more people to pay tickets, and tickets would be how they get their money. Because it's not like, I mean, obviously it's advertising, like they could be, but I don't really know what Microsoft and Sony are actually buying by showing off their stuff at E3. So that's why I don't know why they would charge them, but, you know, whatever. Either way, Nintendo's not going to be there, so they already said that even during their Nintendo Direct during E3, they won't be showing off the NX. So someday we'll get it, and someday we'll get a new Zelda. Maybe.
Just a box with a bunch of question marks on it, with the next to another box with more question marks and Link's hat on it.
Yep, the all-new Wii U coming March 2017. I just made myself sad.
Thanks, Nintendo.
Yay, Nintendo. Wonder- Please don't call it the all-new Wii U.
No wonder you're not making any money.
Yeah, which is another fun little tidbit. The numbers came out a few days ago. The PlayStation Network is making more money than all of Nintendo. That includes their handheld department, their digital department, their console department, which is just really sad because it's the handheld department is
making a killing.
It's what you deserve.
Or it could just be saying something really good about PlayStation Network.
Yeah. That's true.
Maybe.
Trust us. Your credit cards are safe this time.
This time. We won't go down for 3 months again. That'll never happen again.
No. That's why I only buy those PlayStation cards.
Uh-huh. PlayStation still does not have my credit card. They never will.
But at the same time, at least if your system itself gets stolen, you can just re-download everything.
Yep.
Unlike Nintendo, you backwards stuck in the... Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, no, see, because that still doesn't make sense to me. The original Xbox had that feature.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But money.
But money.
We've been down this road already before. What else you got, Jesse?
Yep. All right, Call of Duty news.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool stuff. It's a little bit cool. They released the official trailer. It's Infinity Ward's turn. They're up to bat, and they have released the trailer for Infinite Warfare. I watched a little bit of it. I'm going to watch the rest of it later. It looks real pretty, which, I mean, Call of Duty has gotten real pretty these days. Very future tech.
Well, and it's, to be fair, it's all cinematic. Yes. There wasn't any gameplay released. It was just the actual game, or it was just like a trailer cinematic.
Right. So we didn't get a whole lot of information about it other than the timeline. There's some more post-apocalyptic looking stuff, like a bunch of airplane looking stuff.
Goes into space at the end.
Yeah. But the one cool thing that I'm a little bit excited about, if you buy they're releasing the Legacy Edition, which is an extra $20 and gets you a complete HD remake of Call of Duty 4, the original Modern Warfare system, which is really where Call of Duty started to take off. And that could be really cool. Extra 20. Well, it will not be standalone, so you won't be able to just buy Call of Duty 4 Remastered.
It's like a, not a pre-order bonus, but a,
like it's a bonus you can get for paying for the like Legacy Edition of the game. Because I think you get some extra content in Infinite Warfare, but you also get a complete separate game with it.
Yeah. Well, you would assume. They haven't announced what any of the extra, like, maybe that's all you get with the limited. I would doubt it, but
yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, you really do never know with Call of Duty. I mean, they're going to have, obviously, another big edition that's going to come with a really cool big trinket, because they always have one of those. I don't know what all is going to come with it. But it is pretty cool. You get the full campaign for Call of Duty 4 plus all 10 multiplayer maps.
The way they worded it made me wonder because it's 10 multiplayer maps for Call of Duty 4. I wonder if that means that you'll be playing Call of Duty 4 multiplayer, or if those maps will be for the Infinite Warfare multiplayer.
Because I looked into that too when we were looking up. It is just a full standalone player progression. Like, it has its own player progression system. You unlock all your guns, perks, attachments, and everything else, like, on those 10 multiplayer maps in the Modern Warfare Remastered.
Okay.
So, could be kind of cool. Because I know, Mandy, you played a little bit of Modern Warfare, didn't you?
Yar.
Yeah.
I did not.
I like the older ones better.
Yeah.
But then I was good at those ones.
Because I remember playing. Because I know I played Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 with you, right?
Yeah.
Or was it Modern Warfare 3?
It might have been 3.
Because I don't remember if you played that one or not.
I mean, I played them, but I don't think I knew you.
Makes sense.
For 2.
Because... I know Modern Warfare 2, I played a whole lot with your brother.
Yeah. I wasn't existing then.
you were that girl that came in that I talked to about drums a couple of times.
Mm-hmm. Drums? No, he didn't claim my sister. I had to claim myself.
That's actually kind of true.
It's just a random person who lives in our house.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's my sister. We kind of apparently look alike. I guess that's mine. Thanks, Pat.
I guess that's mine.
Was Modern Warfare 4 the last one that they did? Or did they...
It was Modern Warfare 3, and then they did Ghosts.
Yeah,
they did Black Ops. This developer did Ghosts? Yes. Okay.
Yeah, Infinity Ward is the...
Because I know now they're doing the whole, like... everyone gets 3 years to work on one, because they have the 3 studios, so I didn't know if that was the...
Yeah, they introduced Sledgehammer for Advanced Warfare.
So does that mean, like, it's not going to be Ghosts 2? Or is it just Ghost 2 got given to one of the other ones?
Ghost was Infinity Ward,
mm-hmm.
and the new Infinite Warfare is going to be Infinity Ward.
Right.
So I guess they're just not doing Ghost 2.
Okay, because I remember that was like the rumor earlier in the year.
Yeah, well, because like that Ghost 2 is just their best guess for the game, because they don't...
No one knew what they were going to do
following
Black Ops 3.
Since it's been, you know... Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3, then Black Ops, Black Ops 2, Black Ops 3.
Yeah.
So presumably Sledgehammer is going to do Advanced Warfare 2. But Ghosts was so unpopular that Infinity Ward probably made the correct call in changing the name entirely.
I liked Ghosts.
You were in it. Yeah, I mean, there's still people playing it.
I know. I'm good against them.
Well, I know, like, working here, that's usually one of the last ones people ask for.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the, well, we only have Ghosts. Okay.
It's like, oh, I want to play Call of Duty. Which one? Black Ops. All right, which Black Ops? Oh, it doesn't matter. We don't have any. Well, do you guys have any Modern Warfares? Uh-uh. Advanced Warfare? Nope. Ghosts.
He got Coke? No. He got Pepsi? No. What do you have? RC Cola?
I'll have a water.
All right.
So,
Fire Emblem it is.
RC Cola is better than Sam's Cola, though.
Oh, okay. No, that's definitely true.
We have Dr. What's the generic?
Dr. Thunder.
Dr. Thunder.
Trust me, I know I lived off of that. And Mountain Lightning, I know them.
They're very cheap.
But now, Kroger K from Ruler Foods has the best orange soda ever, and it's only $2.12 for a 12-pack.
That's how I talk about Call of Duty, is bringing up generic sodas.
Fair enough. So... Yeah, the new Call of Duty. And it does look kind of cool. I originally, before Black Ops 3, before Ghosts came out, Infinity Ward was probably my favorite. I know Shannon was always more of a Black Ops fan, and I played hours and hours and hours and hours of Black Ops with him and, you know, that whole group with Bob and Matt. But I always did prefer, like, the first Modern Warfare and the second Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare 3 was definitely a step down, and then Ghosts was just...
I never played any of them. Like, Black Ops 3 was legitimately the first Call of Duty I've ever played more than 20 minutes on. And it was just because, like, everyone here was playing it. It's like, well, I want to play. It looks interesting. Mm-hmm. Because my experience with Black Ops with Call of Duty was, I would go to a friend's house who, this was when they paired you based on skill level. So it's like, okay, so he's been playing every day. It'd be like if I tried to play with you. So it was like your game and then guest. And I would just die every 10 seconds. Spawn, die. And I hated it. It was just so... It always left a really bad taste in my mouth. And it didn't matter which version someone tried to let me play. It was the same thing. But now that they go off of connection, I think it's a little bit better.
Yeah, they do still do some skill-based matchmaking. Because I have actually noticed, I mean, Steven is undeniably the best of our group that plays. And I noticed when I play with him, the opponents are a lot harder than when I play with you. Just because, I mean, it's not saying you're bad at the game.
Oh, no.
You've gotten much better, but... Like, I just noticed that whenever I play with Steven, I end up playing with better people.
Or maybe the negativity just makes you play worse, and they seem better.
Also a distinct possibility, because I know he, like, whenever he gets in a bad mood,
he's certainly
he puts everyone in the room in a bad mood.
If he's not the best, he's certainly the loudest.
That's why he listened to Attack on Titan Abridged.
Which also made him angry.
It really did.
If you're not going to be the best, you could sure as heck be the worst.
Well, he could have left because we enjoyed it.
I did. It was making me play much better because I was laughing. I was having a good time again. Whatever. All right. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Have I forgotten about anything that I wanted to talk about?
DreamWorks got sold.
I don't remember who they got sold to.
Wasn't it like Time Sony? Warner? Yeah, or
Sony, maybe? Right.
I love DreamWorks.
Oh, that would make me extremely sad if Time Warner bought it.
Or like Comcast. Like, I don't think it was Comcast. I thought you said it was Comcast when we were driving out to Indiana.
Oh, it is Comcast, because I remember the joke being they're going to change their name to Dreamcast.
I
can't take that.
It's a good joke.
Yeah, and if there's one cable company more evil than Time Warner Cable, it's Comcast.
Why? DreamWorks was so good.
Hate Comcast.
They've had financial troubles for the past...
I figured.
4 or 5 years, and I guess it finally caught up to them.
They keep trying to compete with Pixar's movies.
If it ruins How to Train Your Dragon 3, I'm going to be very, very upset.
Yeah, so... But that's the only DreamWorks movie I can think of right now, and that's been released in the past few years that I really liked.
I feel like there's another one, I just can't think of it.
Kung Fu Panda is actually really good.
I liked the first Kung Fu Panda a lot. I haven't seen any of the other ones.
The second one's pretty darn good, too.
Yeah. Trying to think what else they did. They did The Legend of the Guardians, right?
Yes.
That was all right.
Yep. Russian Santa is the best Santa.
Russian Santa was awesome. and I'm trying to think.
They did Shrek. They did Home.
I'm trying to think of what they've had that's been successful in the last few years.
How to Train Your Dragon, the first one.
The first one was
super successful. The second one was really successful.
Even if they gave the, you know.
The major plot point away.
That wasn't their fault. That was marketing that did that, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, either way, it's so just unfortunate. But, yeah, the Legend of the Guardians did all right in the box office. Home did really bad, like almost bankrupt the studio, from my understanding.
And it's, yeah.
Because I heard Home was actually not a bad movie, but it just tanked hard in the box office. It had to compete against something, and I don't remember what it was.
I don't even know. I don't even think I've heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it until, like, Stephanie brought it up. This was back in the days of Pen and Nerd. Stephanie brought it up that it had come out and wasn't doing well, and that was the first I had heard of it at all,
right.
Which I guess is just maybe a huge fail on marketing again. And it doesn't help that these days I don't watch any TV at all, like Hulu, Netflix, and I even started paying for the ad-free Hulu, so I don't even see ads there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not like, granted, most of those movies are aimed more for children, and you don't have kids, and you don't.
You don't watch those channels.
So, like, I made you watch Steven Universe, so...
I get some children-directed ads.
They did Chicken Run way back in the day.
I thought that was the Ralph and Gromit guys, Studio...
I don't know. It's not in DreamWorks, but it's probably wrong.
No, it's not. It wasn't... I don't think it was.
That was a really good movie.
But anywho, but yeah, I'm scared for DreamWorks now.
They're almost certainly out.
Hold on, buddies. We'll be okay.
Because Comcast is just...
A terrible, terrible company.
It's cancer incarnate. Like, cancer in a...
Evil Corp.
Yeah, there you go. That also works. Stupid Comcast. I think that was it, though.
Well, just real quick, rapid fire.
Go for
it. A handful of decently, could be newsworthy... they announced that Uncharted 4, which is coming out pretty soon, all of their maps and modes will be free. There will be microtransactions, but it's purely cosmetic,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Oh, I got something too once you're done.
they announced that the they're going to reveal the new, talking about Call of Duty, they're going to reveal the new Battlefield on May 6th.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, just news, some kind of news. There was two more. One of them I think you might be more interested in than me, because I never played any of the original ones. Oh, well, it kind of ties in. So there's a Dark Souls 3 has an exploit where it's really, people are getting soft banned left and right because hacked people will come into their game and drop an item. And if they pick up the item, it gives them souls, which it's then compromised, and you will get soft banned. So people have having to be, like, back up their saves if they're just playing offline.
Because, I didn't hear about that,
because
too.
From Software has not released any kind of patch to address it. There was even a guy streaming doing it for 5 hours, just going into people's games and getting them banned.
What a dick.
Yep. And then on the other news of From Software is, where did it go? The guy's Hidetaka Miyazaki. I don't know how to say his name. That's about as good as it's going to get. He's not doing a Dark Souls or Demon Souls sequel. There is Dark Souls 3 DLC, but he's currently working on a new IP, which Bloodborne was a new IP, but mm-hmm. from everything I could tell, it was basically just Demon Dark Souls with a different name.
The main difference I had, they explained this on Game Grumps in the beginnings of the Dark Souls 3 playthrough, what the difference between Bloodborne and Dark Souls is that Bloodborne is more aggressive. They don't give you a shield. You get a bonus if you keep attacking. You get the chance to gain some of your HP back. Versus Dark Souls, they give you a shield, and I guess you're more rewarded for taking your time, if that makes sense. So they're very similar, but they play a little different.
Between Demon Souls and Dark Souls, or between Bloodborne and
Bloodborne and Dark Souls?
Yeah, that makes sense. So. Yeah, because I know...
Because I thought that was interesting. I was just like, okay, cool, because on the surface they look really, really similar.
Yeah, they used exactly the same combat system. They just may have tweaked it a little bit. Yeah,
and then it's also, I guess, just two separate worlds.
Yes.
Which, I mean, clearly it's two separate worlds, but it's just whenever... Because everyone was so excited that the From Software people were doing a whole new IP, but it just turned out to pretty much be the same game.
It played extremely similarly. And
which, I mean, it's fine, like, for, you know, as someone who's bought and played every Pokemon that's released.
Well, plus even that, it's almost like, you know, a lot of games are really similar to Mario, but they're still fun. Like Mega Man and Mario were pretty similar, but they played differently.
Yeah.
And they're both still great.
So, Mega Man's like 1,000 times harder.
Yes.
Depend.
Mega Man stays consistently hard. Mario, it's just kind of like a steady incline.
And somewhere in between that is Shovel Knight. I love Shovel Knight.
Got mad at Mario tonight.
I got mad at Shovel Knight.
Mikey and I were playing Mario Brothers on the Wii U, and we couldn't beat Bowser, and I was getting mad. We died like 5 times. I was like, I'm sorry, Mikey, I'm getting real mad. We gotta quit. Your mom's about to get real mad. And he's like, it's okay, Mom, we'll get. I'm like, no, we gotta quit. And he like pats my shoulder. He's like, okay. I'm like, yeah, please turn that off. We're done.
You don't want to go into a rage cursing fit in front of your child?
Yeah, I put the Wiimote down. I was like, we're done. I'm not playing this level again. I can't. And he's good at it. Like I kept dying. This is the bad part. Skinny wheels in the lava, and I was just like, Mikey, we're done. I can't. I'm so sorry. We'll try again tomorrow.
Eventually, he's going to be old enough where you guys can cuss each other and bond.
I don't know. The other day, he's like, hey, Mom. I was like, yeah. He's like, F's a bad word. And I was like... Because he actually said it, and I was like, what? No, yes, so no. What? And he's like, yeah, it's good. We're done. Good job. It's bad. Don't say it again.
What? He found a loophole. I can say this if I say it's a bad word.
He's like, what is happening right now?
That's adorable.
And then before I left, he's like, be careful. I'm like, oh my God, you're adorable. Stay in bed and be good.
Yeah, on the other two little things that I wanted to talk about, going back to cheating. Apparently, well, I'd heard about this a while back, but The Division is,
broken.
Like, right, because they have already said, like, they don't care if people mod and cheat and hack. They just went out and said, like, we're not going to try and stop people from doing it.
Which is hilarious, because after the beta, a huge complaint was, hey, so this is user side. That's not going to be in the full release, right? Because if it's user side, then... people can do whatever they want, basically.
Yeah.
And like, oh no, yeah, we'll fix that. It's not, yeah, you're, no, it's not going to be server side. It's cool. $60 game comes out and it's still user side.
Right. Which on the consoles, it's not a big deal. Like, if you're playing on Xbox One and PS4, mm-hmm. you are mostly fine.
Yeah, it's not, well, it's not as big of a deal.
Right.
Like, there's definitely still ways that...
It can still happen, like, it's still exploitable, but it's significantly harder and much rarer.
Right.
On the PC, like, there are people that have already released how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, so you can do pretty much whatever you want on the PC version.
Anarchy. Anarchy.
Exactly. Anarchy. Like, it's just, it's so easy to cheat on there that everybody's doing it, because, like Asa said, everything is user side. So, like, all of your game files and everything else, like, none of it's server-side, and they don't check any of it when you go into the game. So, you pretty much do whatever you want. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, just a very brief thing, miraculously, Street Fighter V has more than 4,000 entrants in EVO 2016, which nobody thought would happen, because Street Fighter V is a garbage game with just...
Well, it's not that it's a garbage game, because Shannon talked about it at length, I think, on a different episode, where we had we talked about, I think I was one of the Mr. 100 Five Star Mans, we talked about Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter 5.
Yeah.
Where the Street Fighter mechanics are still as good as they've ever been.
Yes.
Because Street Fighter as a fighting game is great. Personally, I've always been terrible at it, but I can still recognize that what it's doing is solid. Just the way that they wrapped it was terrible.
Right.
And the package that it comes in is just like, you really got to dig through the crap to find the little bits of gold.
And I guess that's what I'm getting at. Like, it still is Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And Street Fighter has always been consistently, like, well-balanced, like a solid fighting game. But, yeah, when you're releasing, like, a $60 game with so few characters, with, I think they did recently add Guile to the game, I don't understand how you could have a Street Fighter game without Guile. Like, he's kind of...
There were quite a few mainstays that I was... I mean, and again, like, I very just tangentially know the franchise, but, like, names that really stuck out. Like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a Street Fighter character. Or, like, that's a huge Street Fighter character, weren't it? Like, Guile, Sagat is the other one, Akuma.
Right.
Those are the three that immediately come to mind that just aren't in it. And Guile was added to it, but Akuma and Sagat are just not going to be...
Yeah. And I mean, having a Street Fighter game without Guile is almost like having a Mortal Kombat game without Scorpion.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Or maybe Johnny Cage would be a better example. And, like, it's Ken pretty and much Ryu just would like, be your Scorpion.
Yeah, Ryu, Ken, Chun-Li are, like, the three that have to be there.
Yeah.
Guile would be the fourth, probably.
But they're like, eh, they don't need Guile. So they added just a bunch of weird characters. But either way... a lot of people didn't think that it would have enough entrants to have, like, a really interesting tournament, because a lot of people that were really competitive in Street Fighter 4 scene haven't wanted to move on to Street Fighter 5 because there are more characters and better mechanics in the older version. And I don't know. We might end up with another situation before too long where Street Fighter ends up like Smash Brothers, where there's a lot of people playing Street Fighter 5 until they finally release, you know, Street Fighter 5 Turbo Alpha 4 with all the characters.
Well, didn't they say that this was going to be the only version?
I didn't hear that. I mean, they may have.
I don't know.
It would be news to me. I don't know. Either way, so now we've covered all of our interesting news bits. So, Indiana Comic Con.
Woo!
For those of you that didn't know or didn't hear, the four of us here at this table went up to Indianapolis, Indiana over the weekend. And we went to Indiana Comic Con, which is one of the bigger comic conventions in the Midwest. Lots of really cool guests there. A lot of cool people that we got to meet from both our childhood and current. Lots of voice actors. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Lots of really cool cosplayers.
Lots of really cool cosplayers.
Professional and amateur.
Yes.
Lots of really good food.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brew burgers. Oh,
shout out
man.
To Brew Burgers.
Shout out to Brew Burgers. If there's anybody up there listening, or if anybody's ever been there, or if you're ever in Indianapolis, Indiana, for whatever reason,
go to Brew Burgers.
Do yourself a favor. Like, I've talked about it before on other shows, but like Mary Jane's is easily the best burger in this area.
Oh, yeah.
May as well have been McDonald's compared to these guys.
It's crazy.
So good.
Plus their beer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, this was actually Asa's first convention, so I want to get kind of your thoughts on it. We've actually done convention shows before,
mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts?
I really like. I really had. I had a lot of fun. It was really neat. Because my only convention experience has been the Cape Comic Con, and the last like 2-3 years that I've gone to that, I've gone on Sunday. So like a lot of the vendors were gone. Like there was hardly anyone there, and it just really kind of felt rough. Mm. I went again this year on Friday or I think it was on Saturday, and it was a lot bigger, a lot better than I remember it being. There was a lot of cool stuff, but this just kind of blew it out of the water. Like the exhibit hall was gigantic. We spent so many hours in there because we went all 3 days and we looked, and I guarantee you we didn't see everything.
There were, I found 5 new booths on Sunday.
Yeah. And a couple of them were already packed up. So it's like,
yeah.
So yeah, there was so much stuff to see. There was all those like different shows, like the panels I enjoyed way more than I thought I was going to. Like I was a little bit bummed at some of the things, like having to be able to, because I really wanted to be able to meet the names, like the Ninja Turtle cast,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't want to have to pay $30 per person.
$10 and see, that's one of the things that I wonder if, because I never actually looked into it. Like they had the all the stations set up to meet a lot of our voice actors from our past and everything mm-hmm. else and current. It was like $30 for an autograph or something like that. $20 yeah. for some of them, $30 for others. To get an autograph, and mm-hmm. then, like, some more money for a photo op. So I was wondering if, like, you could just stand in line to say, hi, I like you a lot, and then walk away. But I meant to look into that and never did. Oh, and that was actually one thing that I wanted to mention with the panels on Sunday, because you were talking about, like, you know, the historically you've gone on Sundays and it's been kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
Every convention I've ever been to, Sundays were kind of lame. Everybody's mm-hmm. packed up. Everybody's getting ready for the closing ceremonies.
I was going to talk about this, too, because the same thing. There's nothing to do on Sundays.
Ever. Like you Sunday, go to the vendor room yes. just so that you can get, like, sometimes, like, vendors will put, like, stuff on super sale just to kind of try and last-ditch effort clean out on Sundays.
Like, you go and finish up the rest of the shopping you didn't have time for the other 2 days and take a couple more pictures and then you're done for the day.
Right. But we went to 2 panels on Sunday and they were my 2 favorite panels of the weekend. It's awesome. All right. And then so thumbs up from Asa there on that one as his yeah. first convention.
Especially
note.
Considering like how well organized it seemed. Like minus, which we'll get into a little bit probably talking about when we talk about the panels, but like minus some of the moderators.
Yeah.
Like everything seemed to run really smoothly. Like lines were well organized, like there weren't a lot of like overlap. Everything seemed to be moving very clearly. Like even mm-hmm. the like after Friday, there were people like, okay, no, don't go out this store. You have to go out this right. store because people. This is the way that the re-entry works.
Right.
So,
and multiple entrance yeah. or multiple entryways to the vendor hall was also a great idea.
I was also very surprised at the lack of just pure BO.
Yeah.
Like I that's something that I was like mentally preparing for was just
we'd
like,
been talking
and
about
that's
it
fair.
Yeah, because you guys cause, yeah, because it's like you guys were talking about like RTX was pretty bad.
No, RTX was good. There was
except
wasn't,
for the Canadians.
Except for those yeah, except yeah,
there
for
there was
that
a
group
of Canadians that smelled particularly rank, but other than that it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, because like I didn't remember like I didn't have any experience with that. Like everyone seemed
yeah.
well groomed.
Yeah, I could count on one hand how many people that had obvious BO issues at this convention, which I know is a really weird thing until you've been to a convention and you're like, wow, that's not bad at all.
Especially like this was, I haven't looked up the official like number,
mm-hmm.
but from what I researched before, like in the past, like this convention has gotten, you know, 20 and 30,000 people. Like,
oh, wow.
It's huge that convention.
That convention center is really big, too. So it doesn't
yeah, it
look like it, but, like, the center was bigger than the one at RTX.
Yeah.
So.
Like, gigantic. Because this is the convention center right next to Lucas Oil Stadium, which, for those of you that don't know that, it's the home of the Colts, my favorite NFL team. And, yeah, they do a lot of stuff there, I guess, related to that. And also, it's, like, a block away from where the Pacers play, which is their NBA team. Yeah, so huge convention
because we found a little shortcut to get in. Like we actually entered in the convention a solid city block earlier
True.
Than where because yeah. like we would the first day we walked an extra block to get into
the front
the
entrance.
The front entrance, which we then had to walk like 2 or 3 minutes to even get to the exhibitor hall
under the scary bridge. No matter which way around the convention center you go,
because there's one on either side.
Yes.
So, Mandy, as a seasoned convention goer, what did you think of this one?
It was good. It was my first, like, big comic convention, though, because I've only been to anime ones. It was very sad because I didn't have Krista. not gonna lie.
Dang it, Krista.
It was my first convention without her, and like, I don't know. It was really good, though. I had a good time. I really liked the panels a lot. I was really sad that we didn't see the Pokemon one, though.
Yeah.
But the ones we went to were really funny, and the dealer's room is awesome. So yeah. It was good. I liked it. Hooray. Indianapolis is really pretty.
We got heckled as Team Rocket a few times.
That was fun.
That was actually going back to the thing with Krista. We all did invite Krista. Well, by we all. Like, I know I invited her. Mandy invited her. Because we really wanted her to come. And what I didn't know, and maybe could have like been the little bit of extra persuasion, Richard Horvitz was there. And I'm sure that I had probably read it, but I didn't really register the voice of Invader Zim. And hearing him in panel was just fantastic.
Because he doesn't do a whole lot to his voice to be Zim.
That's the surprising
thing. I think he just, because I'm really bad with voice actor names. Mm-hmm. Like, there's only three or four that I will immediately recognize. Maurice LaMarche being one of them, who we got to see. Yes. And so, like, Richard Horvitz, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'm just excited because the Turtles are at this one, too.
Yeah.
And then the first thing he says, I'm just like, oh, he's Zim. He's talking as Zim. That's neat. And then he kept talking. It's like, I don't think he's doing Zim.
Yeah, I also thought, I had the same thought. Like, there were several of them, you know, several of the panels we went to, because they were all voice actors. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they would slip into the voices that we knew and were familiar with.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought he was doing just the whole time. And then as he kept talking.
Until he did Zim.
Yeah, until he got really, like, as he put on the angry. And just, like,
the drive-thru thing. Like, I lost my shit. That was so great. Because they were asked, and I mean, I guess this is a slight spoiler into the panels we're going to talk about here in a minute, but in one of the panels they were asked if they ever use their voices in real life to
mess with telemarketers or drive-through or
mess with something. Yeah. And like Richard Horvitz was like, well, yeah, every time I go through a drive-through I have to do that. And he did a deeper pitched voice, because he said if he talked with his original voice they would always respond with, all right ma'am, is that anything else you need? And then he went like full Zim, like, I am a sir.
Yeah, it was
I lost my shit. That was great.
Which, like, when we stopped at the Taco Bell in that random little town,
mm-hmm. made my order wrong?
Illinois or Indiana, wherever we were. I don't even remember.
Okay,
this is just a random little town. Like, okay, can we have a name for the order? And I was just like, Gray. Okay, Greg. And I was like, and it was either Stephanie or you. Was like, did you say Greg? I was like, no, I said Gray, because I didn't want to have to go through the whole, yes, that's my real name, this is how it's spelled, like, or have them try to pronounce it. So it's like, I'll just save everyone some effort, and I'll just say Gray. And they still got that wrong.
That was not a good Taco Bell.
No, I really wish we had gone to right across the street from Taco Bell. Was the super
most
cool
epic
gas station
ever.
It was a gas station with a food court. It had a Sparro, a Popeye's chicken, Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
What kind of gas station? Whatever. I kind of wish we'd gone
so
there.
So clean, too.
It was. Like,
you just walked in and you're like, what?
Easily the cleanest gas station bathroom I've ever been in my life. Like, everything looked like they had just built this thing. Like, even, like, on the outside in the food court area, it looked like this whole building had just been constructed, like, a month ago. Huh. It was pristine.
It was
just
awesome.
Beautiful. Which
it's, like, the highlight of our trip back.
Yeah, the highlight of our trip back was definitely the gas station and that super shady church and that detour
that we were just gonna pass over and over again.
I was certain we were gonna pass the church a second time.
Is that the roller coaster road that
we're on? Yes, the one that kept giving me a headache.
Because it made us they were doing work on I-57, so we had to take we had to
get off like three exits early.
Yeah,
I was
so
wondering.
We had to go through,
like,
the backwoods to get
after,
to where we need to
be. I was like,
be.
This is like shady, but it's like a roller coaster.
Yeah,
back
after
here.
Like 10 minutes, and I'm like, Jesse, why? Why?
Because it's the, because otherwise it would have tacked on an extra like 20 minutes so we could go through Carbondale.
Yeah, but my head. Oh, my head.
Yeah, I didn't
so
know.
Bad.
Like, I didn't know that it was going to be that bad. Like, honestly, I would have probably been okay with going through Carbondale if it meant not.
We got out of the car earlier. I was fine with that.
I was also fine. Like, in the end, I'm fine with it. Like,
we all survived. The scary church didn't pop back up again.
Yep.
I've seen fine. Southbound. I know this story.
So yeah, there was a. All right, now Stephanie, same question as a seasoned con goer. What were your thoughts on this one? General thoughts.
Same thing as Mandy, I suppose. Most of my conventions have been either anime conventions or RTX, and I know almost next to nothing about comics. So when you guys went and got your comic signed by what's his name?
Mark Waid.
There you go.
Comic Book Jesus.
Oh, God.
When you guys got your comic signed by Comic Book Jesus, I'm like, cool. I'm happy for you. I'm glad.
At one point, he was walking behind us in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
Because Asa just looked at me. He's like, Jesse, is that Mark Waid walking behind us?
Because one of the things that we joked about is it's like we don't know what he looks like. Like, that's the thing with like comic book authors and really like authors in general or artists. It's like I could run into him and be like, oh, excuse me, sorry, have no idea. So earlier in the day, because we forgot to grab the stuff we were going to have him sign.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, well, we need to go make sure he's actually going to be here on Sunday so we can get it. And so we kind of stopped in and we saw him. I was like, you guys are going to be here tomorrow? Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow. Okay, cool. And then we just ran off because it's like, hey, we talked to Mark Waid kind of. And then, so yeah, we're walking down the hallway and there's this guy talking and I'm just like, Jesse, I think, is this Mark Waid behind us? And Jesse turns and looks, uh-huh. It's like, what do we do with our hands? Like, he's here. I see him.
What's really funny is, I hadn't been to a convention since RTX, and I figured since, you know, I dragged you guys down to Austin last fall, late summer, I figured I'd tag along for this one, too, even though comics aren't really my thing. But it was a lot of fun. But that was the exact same thing that happened when Steven saw Aaron from a distance at RTX. Yeah. And then whenever we saw Dan Saturday night at RTX last year, yeah. It's the same freaking thing, except we got to actually go take pictures and give Dan a hug.
Well, and and it made us really nervous, too.
Yes,
so,
it makes you really nervous.
What made us nervous was because I forgot whenever, like, we got to the convention center after we left that we checked out of the hotel. I remembered to pull out the box that I had our comics that were going to get signed in.
Yeah, and then you left it.
And then
I
left it in the car. So we had to go back to the car, grab that, and then go back to the convention center. So when we went, I don't remember if I looked.
No, it was on Saturday that you looked, and it said he was going to be back at. He put up a sign because he left, and he said he was going to be back.
Oh yeah,
at
because
1:00.
After he had left, or because we asked if he was going to be here Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and then after you picked up your commission. After everyone was closing down, I went and was like, well, he didn't get here until 11, so maybe he won't be here right away. So I went and looked at a sign. There was a sign that said he will be back at 1:00. It's like, oh, that's kind of late, but okay. So then we're walking to our first panel. Or no, we're walking to our second panel.
Yeah, because we were going to end up being a little bit late to see Mark Waid,
mm-hmm.
because there was another panel we really wanted to see that went from 1 to 1:45.
Yeah.
And he said he was going to be there at 1:00 and presumably until the end, which was 5.
Right. And so we were going at like 12:30, 12:45.
Right, walking there.
The panel.
And that's when we saw Mark Waid behind us, like, walking he had like a suitcase and everything else, walking away from the exhibitor hall or mm-hmm. the vendor hall. And I was like,
but
after we got through with the whole, like, we're walking near Mark Waid,
uh-huh.
it was just that realization of...
Wait, why did he leave?
Isn't he supposed to be back at 1?
No, really. That's exactly what happened. Like, me and Mandy are up front, and the two of them are in the back whispering to each other, he's coming back. Yeah, he's coming back. The thing said 1. Are you sure? Yeah, like, it's fine.
Because that panel,
what it said. I
that
know
panel was
what it
like
said.
The anime panel.
Yes.
So we got to see the voice of Vegeta, the voice of Goku...
Cam Clark was there for some reason.
Cam Clark was there.
He hasn't done anime in like 15 years.
Yeah. And then Janet Varney. I don't remember the character she voices.
She did Korra.
Korra. Okay, yeah. So like they had a panel. And
Chris
Sabat. And I'm not a... Yeah, voice of Vegeta.
Oh, yeah, you did say Vegeta. Okay.
I just Everybody don't know any of their names. But I'm not a huge anime fan in general. So, and I hadn't seen Legend of Korra. I definitely hadn't seen what Cam Clark was. And then I know about Dragon Ball, but I didn't have like a deep attachment to it. Mm-hmm. So I told Jesse, like, should I just go? Like, I'll just go and wait for Mark Waid and make sure he's coming back, because I'm going to not forgive myself if we miss Mark Waid and it's my fault, because I know the sign said 1:00. Surely it didn't say until 1:00. That would make no sense.
No, it said 1:00. It's going to be fine. Yeah, I know it said that.
It's
you
like,
got your box.
I know, but
we're going to get it signed. I know.
So, and that panel ended up being a lot
minutes.
Of fun.
Yeah, it did.
But like, so I'm glad I stayed. But at the same time, like, it was hard for me to really enjoy it, because in the back of my mind is like, if Mark Waid doesn't get to sign this, I'm going to be so sad.
I know.
And plus, it worked out extra well, because turns out, I guess he was getting lunch with a colleague or something, and that's who he was walking with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly who it was. And we got there, like, after the panel, we went to his table. And the sign had been changed to say 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it worked out extremely well because we still ended up being the first in line. We got there about 10 minutes before 2.
Yeah.
And we ended up being the first in a fairly long line.
Yeah, the line grew pretty quick.
Yeah, it did.
And I got to tell him that he saved Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And he's so humble, too, because he's just like, oh, no, it was a team effort. You know, my artists were great. And I was like, no, yeah, the artists were
great.
Sammy
did a great job.
The artists were great, but you told the great story. Like, he was dying. Like, Daredevil was
a sinking ship.
It really was. Like, every person that jumped on there was just, like, piling on the... Matt Murdock turned into a
ridiculous
huge punching bag.
Yeah.
And it was not good. And so then Mark Waid gets his run and completely righted the ship and turned that character around. And I'm still would bet money on, if it wasn't for his run, there would not be a Daredevil TV show.
Yeah, because like, he would not have resurrected Daredevil in the comic book world.
Yeah.
I guess.
And so I got, he signed things.
Yeah,
they did.
And I got to talk to
them. They got it signed. Everything was cool.
We got our comic signed.
But no, I guess, yeah, I went because you guys went to Austin with me, and because I didn't watch Ninja Turtles. I don't read comics. It's just like, well, I'm going to go have an adventure. And
well, I guess to be fair, like, I was the only one in that group that, like, I had no knowledge of RTX. I was just like, big con, let's do it.
Yes. And like I said, I was going to make a cheat sheet of everybody at Rooster Teeth and the Grumps and everything, but I forgot to, so... You get to watch us stampede and go, like, tackle people and yell at people in the hallway.
Yeah, so. I mean, the only real awkward part for me with RTX was when I found out, like, on the last day that I had been riding the elevator with Ninja Brian.
With Brian.
I was like, oh, well, that's neat.
Anyway.
And probably thinks I'm an ass because I did not recognize him at all.
No, he normally wears a mask. It's okay.
Yeah.
So, anywho. But, yeah. But it was a good time. Like, Indianapolis is pretty cool. Yeah.
They have awesome bike lanes.
They did.
Like, that city is just cool in general. Like, it's a great downtown area. Like, everything around Lucas Oil Stadium seemed pretty awesome. We didn't get to explore much of the rest of the city because we were too busy doing other stuff. But.
I do appreciate conventions that are set up in an area where you can walk to get everywhere you need to go for the weekend.
Yeah.
Because we parked the car and just let it sit there all weekend.
Yeah,
so.
The furthest we ever drove was, or walked rather, was about a mile and a half to Brew Burgers. Worth it.
So worth it.
Versus, like, you know, when OMG Con was still in Paducah and you had to drive 20 minutes to get back to Paducah to go to a place that's just going to stare at you and think
Dairy Queen.
Yeah,
like, it was so far away from food and even hotels. Like, yes. There wasn't even a hotel near OMG Con.
There used to be. The first year I went, there was a hotel attached to it, but the following year they closed it. But
and I guess, I know they moved it, so I don't know if there's a hotel near it now. But either way, I thought the convention was awesome. I had a whole lot of fun. It was also my first major comic convention. Like, you know, Stephanie and Mandy had really only been to anime conventions. And RTX was the first non-anime convention I'd been to outside of Cape Comic Con, which I don't count that. It is getting bigger and better and, you know, all the time. But
it's not
still,
major. It's not like a big one.
It's not the same thing, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah, nowhere near.
Because, I mean, there was, like, to the Cape Comic Con credit, like, there were other rooms that had stuff going on. Like, you worked the Smash tournament. They had the costume contest in one room. They did that showing of Plan 9. Mm-hmm. Like, they did other events as well as just the main floor. But just, you can't compete with, how many of those rooms that had, like, LARPing sword fights and stuff like that just all the time.
And, I mean, it's also hard to compete, like, with a city like Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and, I mean, they were able to comfortably house basically the population of Cape Girardeau, like, you know, at this one convention.
We don't have a big convention center, though, either.
We don't. Mm-mm. Like, the Osage Center is, like, even Cape Comic-Con is outgrowing the Osage Center.
Yeah, like, we don't have anything.
Which is crazy, because, like, the last 2 years it was at Arena Building.
Yeah, that's right. So tiny.
So tiny. God. Like, before long, they're going to have to start doing it at the Show Me Center. Yeah. Which, I mean, if they do it right, the Show Me Center could probably do quite a few people.
Oh, yeah.
Not a hotel or anything nearby.
Do they have rooms to do, like, showings and stuff like that, too?
At the Show Me Center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of.
They have not as many as, like, I don't think it would work as well as the Osage Center, but, like, the way that I would figure they would do it, they would just put up, like, dividers in that main area.
Yeah.
So you have, like, half of it dedicated to the vendors.
I mean, plus you have a couple of extra gymnasiums and stuff they could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, I think this got mentioned on the other convention shows, but, like, the convention center for this convention was huge. and the one at RTX was the convention center itself and two of the surrounding hotels.
Well, actually, so I think they're building a really big convention center here pretty soon. Like Drury is doing it, I think, over near like the county parks, right off the highway.
Oh,
now that I'm thinking about it, I think that's happening soon. Either way, so well, maybe in the future, but either way, and you know, for me, going backward here, I guess a little bit, I'm really into comic books, as everyone well knows. And I mean, less into anime, especially than I used to be. Like, there's still a few out there that I'll watch, and I still like anime, but I'm significantly more into comic books now. So this one was much more up my alley. And I'd also, you know, with Rooster Teeth, we had talked about it before. Like, I watched Red vs. Blue, but that was about it. I started watching Ruby, and the animation made me not like it. So yeah, I was super stoked about this one and was not disappointed. I mean, we got to meet like true legends there. Like Neil Adams was there, which those of you out there and like know anything about comic books, you know, like that's a big deal. We got to meet Chris Claremont, which I mean, he's the writer of like the Days of Future Past storyline. Like he is the creator of that, which gave us, you know, the best X-Men movie, but I mean, just a great story in general. Along with many, many other things. Chris Claremont's another like huge name in the comic book world. And a bunch of other like cool artists and authors and stuff like that. And then, yeah, meeting like the voice actors for most of my childhood was just fantastic. So we didn't get to go to as many panels. We missed out on the Pokemon game show while we were dressed as Team Rocket, which is really unfortunate because of a slight...
timing issue.
Misread the... what time it was supposed to start.
We were thought it was lining up at 11 and starting at noon. It was actually starting at 11, and we realized that at 11:30.
Yep.
Whoops.
I got to meet Jessica Negri, though.
Yeah, there were some of the more famous cosplayers there, like Jessica Negri, Super Casey. Lisa Liu Hu, and a few of the other ones. I think that's her name. I don't know. Either way.
I only cared about Jessica and Casey.
Was it you that... The parent and the kid with the Eevee plushie? Did that happen to you or to Ace?
That was us. Yeah, okay. It was like, I think all four of us were in the group.
Yeah, we were all right there, but we were the only ones that acknowledged her.
I didn't hear it, so.
Oh, it was really funny because, so basically, this little girl was walking by with her mom because it was a comic convention, so there were actually a lot of little kids and stuff, too.
Yeah.
And this little girl is just holding an Eevee doll, and the mom goes, "Oh, look, honey, it's Team Rocket. Better hold on your Eevee before they steal it." And just the look of terror
and
in her eyes.
So Jesse and I hear this, and we turn to like acknowledge, and we're going to play along. But what happened was, and it's just this little like 4 or 5 year old girl.
I doubt she was even
probably
five.
Close, like probably three. Could have been three, four. But four at the most. Like, but so she gets this legitimate like. There's a fear in her eyes, and she hugs this Eevee doll so tight. And, like, I felt so bad. Like, I wanted to go home and change. Because, like, she legit thought we were going to, like, and I just ended up, like, smiling real big and, like, no, hi, her.
I was just like, waving.
Don't
like, no,
have nightmares.
Gonna...
I'm sorry. Like, I'm not going to. Here's, I no. I'll give you a dollar. Just please, just smile. Smile now.
No, in comparison to when we were walking back to the hotel, room, the guy in the Vegeta shirt jumping out at us.
Oh, that was pretty funny.
And also heckling us because we were dressed as Team Rocket.
Or the girl dressed as Officer Jenny.
Yeah.
No, that was great.
Our response was just like, "We paid for these.
We ain't done nothing.
We didn't do nothing. You keep walking.
You can't prove it." Mm-hmm. Run.
I love con people.
It was a lot of fun, like dressing, because we, for those of you that haven't picked up on the context clues yet, we did a group cosplay of Team Rocket, and we were basically just walking around in Rocket shirts and dark clothing.
And we had the
And we had Pokeballs. Yeah.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Shout out to Lindsay.
Yeah, just a super easy group cosplay. And there were a few people that I wanted to, like, just say really rude things to, because I would walk up and hear someone say, like, "God, why are there so many Team Rocket grunts?"
Because it's a super easy group costume.
Like, shut up. And this person would be dressed as Harley Quinn. Like, really? Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of Harley Quinns.
I think, like, a significant percentage of the people that were cosplaying were certainly Harley Quinns.
Yeah. I will say there was a lot of really cool ones too.
Tiny Shredder. Do you remember Tiny Shredder
with the muscle shirt was awesome. I had to stop and get a picture with a guy who was Casey Jones from the original live action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Who even his bag was like super worn and beat up. Like he looked awesome.
Yeah.
The Red Hood and Deathstroke.
That one was an awesome one.
And then the Ermac and Katana. With the glow, like he had a helmet that actually had like glowing eyes and then,
like a bunch of other LED works on the front of it.
Really cool. Elaborate, real awesome. Like a lot of like it made me feel like because this was also the first time I've ever cosplayed. Like I did Rick for the Cape one, but so like I was Rick on Friday and then we did Team Rocket on Saturday, and it just felt like I see what these people are wearing and I'm just like, I'm garbage. I'm just going to go put on normal clothes now because I can't be here like this.
We don't have cosplay elitism at this table.
No. Yeah, we just do it for fun. All right, so we got about 5 minutes left. In that 5 minutes, Mandy, what was your favorite panel that we went to? I'm going to do favorite panel and favorite purchase.
My Mega Man and Proto Man posters probably that I searched for like 3 hours on maybe Saturday and couldn't find
one booth
and I wanted
until
to,
Sunday.
We all
like,
looked for that booth.
I found it Friday, but we were walking somewhere and I didn't want to just zoom off. And I was like, that's brilliant. And we went back Saturday and I searched like 3 hours and never found it.
And like Jesse said, like she told us what she saw. And so we all were like looking at, because there were so many prints and artists there.
Yes.
So it's like, okay, it can't be that hard to find. We didn't see a trace of it.
Never. And then we went back Sunday and we broke off and I was like, all right, cool. And I went to the bathroom and I'm just walking out and I just look up and it's there. Like beam of light. And I was like, what? And I even asked the guy, like, I was like, this is probably dumb, but were you here yesterday? He's like, yeah. I'm like, no.
You were
no. I looked for 3 hours.
Did you pull these down? Because I don't think you were showing them.
So probably those two posters and my Kingdom Hearts poster that I got one of the last prints of. That's beautiful. And my happy play. I liked all of my purchases.
Baby was very happy with her buys.
We all spent so much money.
I don't know. I liked all the panels. I found them all very funny. Mm-hmm. So
all of them ended up being a lot better than I even like could have hoped for.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Goku doing Kamehameha was pretty sweet. Oh,
yeah.
And being salty.
I wish I recorded it.
And being salty about not getting a character arc like Vegeta does. That was great.
And he just comes out eating a banana like so casually.
He's like, sorry,
I was like, yeah, you cool.
Him and Cam both, the guy who voiced Leonardo and the guy who voiced Goku are both like kind of bitter that they got the boring characters. So like, because like Cam Clark was, you know, I didn't get a catchphrase except for, we've got to find a solution.
Fast.
What are we going to do?
Well, we got to think of something.
We have to think of something fast. Yeah. That was funny.
Yeah. All right, Asa, same question. Favorite panel, favorite purchase?
My favorite panel was probably the one we did on Sunday that had Maurice LaMarche, the Three Turtles, Gray Delisle, and Richard Norwitz.
Richard Norwitz.
Norwitz. Because that one was supposed to clearly be a very an all-ages panel, and it was not.
No one cares on Sunday.
Like, apparently not. Like, no. They all had to have been hungover or just, like, so sleepy. But it was hilarious. Gray Delisle dropping F's and S's and talking about like using Cam saying a girl legitimately wanted to have sex with Leonardo. It's just like that one was hilarious the whole time. Also, Maurice LaMarche, like a lady sneezed real loud before everyone took the stage. Yes. So Maurice LaMarche just comes out and says, Morbo says bless you, and then runs back off stage.
Oh, it was great. And Maurice LaMarche, like, for those of you that haven't seen him, like, he's actually, a bigger guy.
Yeah.
So it was just really funny to just see this, like, you know, like, big...
big guy.
Yeah, older, big man just run out to a microphone.
And lean in.
Just lean in and give the Morbo, because he is the voice of Morbo. Uh-huh. And it was just, oh, man, it was great. Like, everybody in the crowd died.
No, stepping back a few minutes from that, this person sneezed. Everyone in the audience simultaneously says, bless you.
Oh, yeah.
There's about a 5-second pause. He takes the sage, says his line, and then leaves again.
Yeah, he just like disappears back to the back.
And then my favorite purchase, I'm not going to count the Mark Waid comics because I already had those, so it was just awesome. And the cool thing was he signed it for free because we each had Neil Adams variants of comics that we wanted Neil Adams to sign, but you had to pay $30 for him to sign it. So it was like, well, so I would say probably my favorite purchase was probably the Neil Adams print. because it's a Lego Joker smashing a Lego Batman, like, as he's trapped on a card that Neil Adams then signed.
Yeah, because if you bought something from his booth, he signed it for free.
Yeah.
And he would even do a dedication, which of course we did.
Yeah. And then I also, but I'm really happy with all the prints that I got. I got three, a Gambit one, a Spider-Man one, and then a really cool one with Arrow in a wrestling ring with Stardust sitting in a corner, and he says, "You have failed this ring."
Oh, that was awesome.
That one was really cool.
I forgot about the Carmen Sandiego and the Waldo one.
Oh, yes.
I forgot about that one.
Carmen Sandiego. Well, go ahead and tell what's in that one real quick. I'll let you do it.
It's like Carmen Sandiego and Waldo sitting having coffee, and then Boba Fett just, like, the doors open and Boba Fett's there, and they're like, "Oh, F."
Waldo has, like, dropped and broke the mug.
Because you have to find them, and he found them, and it's great.
Found them both.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
All right, Steph, favorite panel, favorite purchase?
That probably was my favorite panel, too, mostly because I loved Zim yelling, "I'm a sir."
I'm a sir!
At some lady in a drive-thru. He does have such a high-pitched voice.
He does. Yeah, Richard Horvitz is definitely high-pitched.
So, no, that was really great.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed.
Which Cam then carried on to the second panel that he was in that day, not giving any credit.
Which, to me, I thought it was funny. Like, I have to assume that, he might have thought a lot of the people that were there for the first one then came to the second one.
Except that it was, like, four times bigger in the second one.
So, yeah, he just... because I'm pretty sure that was the first thing that Richard said.
Yeah.
Was just like, and like the only thing that he said for the first like 20 minutes of the panel.
Hashtag
blessed. It was one of those things, like, it was really funny and then it wasn't funny and then it was funny again somehow.
I thought it was always funny.
Threes. You do jokes in threes. That's where they're funny. And favorite thing I bought. I also got a bunch of cool art. I also got a ton of stuff to hang off of my 3DS, one of which was an obscure character from Bravely Default that nobody else at this table knows about.
Accurate.
That I was super excited to see and bought literally 5 minutes after we got into the exhibit hall. I saw him and I was like, I have to buy this. And so, yeah, I feel like I brought the entire, like, walking around. Cool, we'll walk around here for a minute and then we'll go do stuff. And then I stop everyone immediately and bring the adventure to a halt because Steph's got to buy something after being in there for 5 minutes. And, that was great. My 3DS is super pretty right now. It's heavy, but it's pretty.
She literally has at least, like, 10 different things just hanging off of her 3DS
More
right
like
now.
Like six. Wait, the Stylus, Gin, DeRosso, Sailor Moon, Sailor Jupiter, Niles and Corrin. That was post-con, though.
She's got a lot.
Yeah, like around seven, maybe.
It's a lot.
And some commissioned art. I had never commissioned anyone before, so I didn't see a lot of Fire Emblem art at the Artist Alley tables, so I had some commissioned, and it's wonderful. So
there you go.
Yeah.
All right. For me, my favorite panel was, it might be a tie with the two on Sunday. But if I had to choose, it would be the first one, which was the one that had Maurice LaMarche. Mm-hmm. Because basically the first one was called Right in the Childhood. And it was the Gray Delisle, Richard Horvitz, and all those. And then the second one was called the Animazing Panel. And yeah, that was the one that had Vegeta, Goku, Korra, and Cam. And I don't know why Cam was there.
Well, apparently Tetsuyo was something that he had, like, someone asked him at the Turtles panel
yell it. So I don't think that was
the name of it.
Honestly, I think it's because it was Sunday, and again, no one cares on Sunday.
Well, no, that was on Saturday. That was on Saturday, the Turtles panel.
Yeah,
someone asked him to do it.
But no, if he showed up at the Animu panel on Sunday, I'm guessing, my assumption was that it was because, why not?
Fair enough.
I've got the time.
And he also, because he wasn't supposed to be in the Right in the Childhood panel.
Yeah, but he just got added to that.
Yeah, which I'm okay with.
Because then it was all three Turtles again.
Yeah, we got to see all three Turtles in two panels. And that was actually one of my favorite moments was, and what Asa wants to talk about right now is the Bebop and Rocksteady moment. Because the voice of Michelangelo and Donatello do Bebop and Rocksteady as
respectively.
Well. Yes. And, oh my God, that was hilarious.
Because someone mentioned, was it Cam that also did the Rat King?
Yes, Cam did the Rat King.
Because someone asked him to do the Rat King voice, and he did. And then someone asked them about, which I didn't know that he also did Rat King.
I didn't either.
Also didn't know that Barry, who does Donatello, also did Rocksteady. And then turns out, Michelangelo also does Bebop. And then so they had a little quick interaction because they talked about how they played them as like just petty little siblings.
Mm-hmm.
He's touching me. Like, and then they,
I'm not touching anyone.
Yeah, and it went, oh, that was so, that one just made me giddy.
That was like, yeah, because
we both looked, we turned and looked at each other like, it's happening.
It was so awesome. Like, it was fantastic. And yeah, that was one of my, that was definitely one of my favorite moments there. And then, but yeah, that first panel though, because, you know, so much of my childhood going right there. And then, like, that panel was great until the moderator asked them to do the improv thing.
That was amazing. I felt so bad for him, though, because, like, that's a great idea.
It was a great idea, but he didn't, like, if he had given them some place to be.
Or some kind of purpose to all be there.
Right.
Because he asked all six of them to pick a character that they do and then, like, interact with each other in that kind of thing. Which Janet Varney did her fire.
She did Azula from
Airbender. Yeah. Avatar, I mean. And so,
well, no, but, that wasn't Janet Varney. It was a Great Delisle.
Great Delisle, that's right.
Yeah.
So yeah. So she's just like, I don't improv. I don't do this. And then like that was her thing.
Yeah.
And then Maurice LaMarche is like, well, what's the why? Because like they tried.
Because he did Brain.
Yeah. They just kind of tried a little bit to talk about each other, but they didn't have a purpose to.
Yeah. Because he did Brain. Then Barry did
Rocksteady.
Did Towny do Bebop? I don't even remember him talking.
I don't remember either.
And
because that was the only downside of that panel is that they're like, I wanted more from all six of them.
But there were all six of them.
But there was all, and so like only,
and
really,
plus it was
like,
only a 40-minute panel.
Yeah,
that made me sad. But yeah, no, that whole thing was just great. There was a little bit of trouble with some of the moderators, like. In the second panel, and on Saturday, it was the same moderator. She let one person ask like six questions, which was just silly. And then she did the same
like,
thing.
Let them sign autographs while they're up there. Which shout out to Richard
Horvitz, because like we'll be
at our table. Yeah, so
I really don't remember any convention having moderators though.
Yeah,
maybe it's a comic thing because I don't ever remember that at anime conventions at all.
It's more like a lot of anime convention panels are fan run. Which is where.
But I mean, even when you have the celebrities, like what Mandy's talking about, like I've never had a moderator
up like 25 minutes of asking questions.
That's
which
true.
I'm sure they're like popular questions, but.
Yeah, and a lot of, to be fair, like a lot of those questions were like.
There were questions
probably
that people were
FAQs,
gonna ask anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minus like that lady who asked, like, what's your favorite Chuck Norris joke?
Yeah. It
was and like, then he.
Yeah.
That lady, because I liked the guy moderator. He did a good job.
Yeah, the very first guy with the turtles.
Yeah, because yeah. he did one on Sunday as well, I think. I think it was the same guy.
Yeah, I think he did the Right in the Childhood one.
So yeah, but then like.
Because he did the improv.
Like nobody does Chuck Norris jokes anymore. That's like.
Nope.
Yeah.
Because yeah, that was the Ray Park. And because we got to see Darth Maul and Darth Sidious on stage. That was pretty cool. But either way, so we're definitely way over on time now. So I'll get to my favorite purchase because it has a bit of a story with it. Like Stephanie, I also did a commission. One of my favorite pieces, one of my favorite covers in like modern comics is because I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and the Spider-Man Deadpool run has started with the newest set of Marvel. And it's been a great run so far. And the artwork on the first issue is fantastic. Like, it's my background on my phone. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. And I also really like the Gwen Stacy versions of these characters with Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool. And Gwenpool got her own ongoing series recently, and it's really neat. So I was looking around trying to figure out who I want to get commissioned. Because for those of you that have never gotten art commissioned, it's not really cheap. So, I mean, you're making, unless, it's not really cheap if you want good work.
Which, to be fair, is completely understandable, because you're like, hey, take an hour and a half and just draw this thing real well.
And run your booth and talk to all these people.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, yeah, it's a completely understandable thing. Like, when you start thinking, like, oh, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense that would be expensive. So, I mean, I dropped, like, just shy of $100 on a commissioned piece of art, which was just I got a pencil drawing of this first cover of Spider-Man Deadpool, but with Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool, because I thought it would be really neat. Mm-hmm. And I'd been looking around at different people's art, and I'd asked, you know, around at a few prices. Like I narrowed it down to a few people, and the one guy that I really wanted, I asked him, it was going to be $400. I was like, hee. Even because he would only do like 11x17 like full board print. I'm like, ugh.
That's big.
Yeah, so I mean, it's an understandable price and a reasonable price, especially his art was killer. like, he had this Teenage Mutant Turtle stuff that looked really good. Either way, so I went to this other guy because he did pencils on like a 9x12 sheet for like starting out at $70. And I was like, well, okay. And he had all of his art on his wall. It all looked really good and it was really promising stuff. So I asked him to do it. Like I asked, you know, about prices and everything else. And he quoted me $95 for, you know, two characters and weird poses because they're not just standing there on the cover. It turns out this guy is like a huge douche. And I had troubles with him like right from the beginning because he...
Well, he didn't really understand what...
He didn't understand what I was asking for.
He didn't realize that there was a difference between Gwenpool and...
Lady Deadpool.
And Lady Deadpool.
And same thing with Spider-Woman and, like, Gwen... Or Spider-Gwen. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I told him, like, I wanted the... You know, I want this cover because I showed him the picture on my phone. Mm-hmm. But with Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool. And... or the Gwen Stacy versions of the character. Well, no, I said Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool. And he looked at me confused. And I was like, you know, I like the Gwen Stacy versions. So you want the female versions of the characters. I mean, that's all you got to say. Mm-hmm. Like...
No.
And I was like, yeah, fine, whatever. And I went forward and he told me the price for it. And I was like, all right, now I just want to clarify. I don't want Spider-Woman and Lady Deadpool. I'm wanting the Gwen Stacy versions, Gwenpool and Spider-Gwen. And he was like, all right, so yeah, there is some confusion. Who are these people? Because he'd heard of Spider-Gwen, but he had never heard of Gwenpool. So I had to pull up pictures and send him all that. Everything was fine. And, you know, we went out and did our own stuff.
For the rest of the day, yeah.
For the rest of the day. So then I come back, like, right before the exhibit's closing. And he was like, oh, just hang out. I'm almost done. You know, no worries there. And then he starts talking.
Now, before Jesse gets into this, my experience with the two people I commissioned, they were fine. Like, I like my work. They seemed nice. And everything was cool.
Yeah.
So... It's very much like everybody else at the convention, there are good people and there are bad people.
And also as a little precursor to the rest of the story, I was looking at a lot of his work that he had hanging, and it was all very well done, but it was all very, very sexualized. And not just like, oh, the female characters are a little bit bustier or curvier. Full on, like, provocative...
Are you talking about the stuff that was in the book or the stuff hanging?
The stuff hanging and the stuff that was in the book. Because the page in the book that he had open was a very sexual pose. And then as he was finishing, someone came up and started, like, looking through the book. And there were just straight up, like, he had sticky notes over what would be nipples because it was the exact same pose, just without any clothing.
See, I didn't actually notice much, like, that was, you know...
Jesse did not get porn commissioned.
No. No, he did not. And like most of the stuff they had hanging were like action poses and stuff. I mean, there were a few that were a little sexier than they probably needed to be.
No, yeah. But you were getting an action pose commission, so yeah. Made sense.
Yeah, so I mean, there was a bunch of cool
and again,
action poses.
It was done very well. It's just the actual subject matter was a little closer to NC-17 than I would expect.
Because Asa was telling me about the book, and I saw the same thing in the I saw later. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, yeah, no, that's a that is graphic,
bordering on Rule 34.
Yeah, the guy had straight up porn in that binder, not hanging, obviously, but yeah, and that I mean that's why I went with it. Action poses. So we were just sitting there talking, and my God, what a
the things
dick.
He says.
He was asking, so you guys do anything else tonight, or you know what else is going on tonight? And this was Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, there's the rave going on. We're probably not going to do that because we're kind of tired and, you know, raves. And he was like, oh yeah, I went to that last time. Or, you know, he's talking about, well, last year they had like an after party or something like that. I'm like, yeah, that's what this is. He's like, yeah, I went to that and I got completely trashed and I got real up.
Yeah, it was, like, I believe what he actually said. Yeah, and then like, he looks up and saw Mandy and Steph and he's like, oh, like, he shouldn't have said that in front of...
Not in front of the women, I suppose. Just like, you douchebag.
And we were just like, whatever, dude. It's fine.
So then he was like, yeah, and I ended up going home with one of the cosplay... Like, with a cosplay girl, like, one of the famous ones. And I was like...
Now, Jesse, how would you describe this man's eyebrow situation?
lack? Like... He had none. Like, yeah. the man looked like if a turtle was made into a person and lost his shell. Like, that's what this guy looked like. His entire, like, he looked almost like, were it not for the fact that he had, like, some stubble of facial hair and, like, some stubble on his head, I would think he was, like, undergoing chemotherapy.
He was powder.
He was, yeah, just completely pale, white, pasty-looking guy, completely bald but trying, And yeah, no eyebrows.
But yeah, I went home with a cosplayer, you know, one of the famous ones. She's actually here right now, and he points over to where,
and
like,
he's talking
the
guest cosplayers
were. Oh, I haven't
talked to her in months. This is going to be awkward.
He's like, oh, I woke up. I'm like, man, this was a mistake.
Like, no, and then some other, I guess, lady that worked at a different booth came over and sat down on the floor next to him. And, like, I don't know if that was his actual girlfriend or what the deal
it
was.
It seemed to be. Yeah. But, because when he made the kids comment, it definitely was.
It's like, oh, yeah, leave it for my kids. Not that I have kids, but, you know.
Thank God.
And yeah. I'm like, I wonder if he does. He's just, like, hiding that fact from whoever this is.
Well, no.
I doubt it.
Like, I told Jesse, or I guess I mentioned this as we left the exhibit hall. It was just, like, I really wanted to turn around as we were walking away and say, hey, don't make the same mistake this year. And just
and I mean, it's probably off. Important to note, like going back to the famous cosplayer comment, none of these cosplayers were anything approaching what anyone could objectively consider unattractive.
Yeah.
Like,
and also a bulk of them seem to be with their significant other.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, this guy was just a prick. And like, had I known that, like, at the beginning, I probably would have gone, like, anywhere else, paid a little bit extra, because he was probably the cheapest person there for what I was wanting.
Oh, yeah.
And in complete fairness, the drawing actually turned out really good. It wasn't, like, hyper-sexualized. Like,
and he got
the
characters right.
He
like, he didn't just do Lady Deadpool like you were worried, because that was the main thing. Like, you wanted to go see and just make sure he was going to be there on Sunday, because he hadn't quite finished yet, or he hadn't texted you about it. And then you are also like, oh, I really hope it's actually Spider-Gwen and Gwenpool.
Yeah, because I was just waiting to see, like, you know, Lady Deadpool and, like, the ponytail hanging back. I'm like, it's not what I wanted. But anyway, so, yeah, it all turned out all right, except I had to interact with that guy for, you know,
extended 20 minutes. Period of time.
Again, that doesn't always happen.
No.
Oh, no, yeah.
No. I think everybody understands that the reason I'm talking about this is because it was one douchebag.
Please.
It is so out of the ordinary.
Please, get art commissioned when you go to conventions.
Because the people that I talked to, like, that were running booths were all really cool. Like, the girl talking about Gen Con at the board game, which was another huge thing that I loved, is that there were a bunch of big board game and games there.
Lots of board games.
Like, the guy that was doing those cheap prints that we all bought stuff from. Or not cheap, but like the less expensive of the prints that were there.
Yeah, because, like, they were still looking good, and they're the ones that had like Mandy's, Carmen Sandiego and Waldo.
Yeah,
and
that stand was awesome.
Yeah, and then like Asa's
You Failed This Ring. Yeah,
yeah. All right, well, we're at now 1 hour and 16 minutes, so I'm gonna go ahead and cut off here. Like, ended up being great. Loved this convention. It was a whole lot of fun. I would definitely like to go back next year.
It makes me wish I had more money.
Right?
It also, yes. And I'm definitely going to try and save more money for next time, because I ended up spending a lot more than I thought I did.
Welcome to your first con experience, Asa.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, thanks for listening to us ramble about a convention. Hope you had as good a time as we did.
Thank you,
Mandy. Thank you, Asa. Thank you, Stephanie. And thank you, audience, for listening.
Bye.